concern and care and everything we build up to, like, this web of protection over time due to both of our situations kind of kept me here. You know what I'm saying? To where I would get over whatever past... I would get over any type of past hurts or pains purposely in order to be present sometimes and to be... It's like, it's all calculated, and not even, like, I don't even talk to God about it, but I was like, damn, it's like, now, if this was, like, say if this wasn't us, and you didn't have your family, I didn't have my family, and other shit occurred, we probably would have separated completely. But, like, due to the circumstances, I'm like, yo, I can't leave her out like that, or I can't leave him out like that, or I can't leave her this and the other, or I can't have my children be... in another situation to where it's similar, but he's not aware of what occurred outside of this for over years. Be, you know what I'm saying? Does it make sense? So it's like divine in some ways. It's like, even now, it's like, you know, I don't trust you emotionally because you did this and that and the other. But I trust you in these other ways. And it was a point in time to where I don't trust you. I was like, man, I don't trust her. She done this and that and the other with me living in the crib. And then over time, it's like each day that passed, it's like it's a constant motion of regaining trust, regaining understanding, and regaining a lot of shit. So it's like our human phases of just being involved in situations, it doesn't overlap what's truly there. Does that make sense? Did I explain it correctly?
I mean, I guess that's your truth. That's how you feel about it.
Well, to me, it's like, because I know, like, say, yeah, that's how I always felt about it. Because, like, being involved in this has been counseling in itself. Because I remember, like, even at one point, I was like, man, I ain't fucking with her like that, because she did whoop de whoop whoop whoop, and I know I can do whatever outside of this. This was years ago. But then it's like, okay, I gotta do this. I need to do that. I know I gotta do this for the very reason, because this shit is all fucked up and I can't just have, you know what I'm saying? It becomes
purpose. But see, you forget what you did.
Well, I'm not even saying, yeah, I'm saying that too. No, I'm not saying that I forgot. I'm saying with you as well.
What you did, what I did was because of what I thought you did.
Yeah. And so it is back and forth. And that's why I say human phases. Like, you go through it to where, like, you're, I'm reacting this type of way. I'm reacting to this type of way.
When you're young and immature, what else the fuck, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And then over time, it's like, okay, you start seeing, like, the bigger shit. And, like, even recently, like, with you feeling emotionally void with me, it's like, me not being present emotionally because of whatever the fuck I'm going through. This and other, and you know, like I said, human phases. You have these expectations. You have, like, I need this. I need some support in this area, but you don't understand how I'm feeling, and blah 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 blah. But then you get out of that, and you realize that, like in the past, I always said, the bigger picture, bigger picture, bigger picture, like, we've been, like, so outcast to where if something did really, really occur to where it's like, I can no longer forgive you, I know that you will be fine independently, as far as, like, being with another person, and, you know, I'll be fine independently dealing with another person as well. But what's stronger than just the typical human phases is our understanding of one another and what we're capable of together, because of what we've been through together. You know, like with your family, my family, all that shit, is like, we've been so dynamic together that there's like so much potential together, right? But then we go through these human phases, like, nah, fuck her. She did blah, 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 blah. And Now fuck him because he did this. He's playing with my fucking emotions. You know what I'm capable of doing? I can give me some dick right the fuck now. Get some motherfucking. I can be on the yacht right now, bitch. Whatever. And then it's like, well, me, okay, you want to do that shit? Shit, I got a bitch that make like $150,000 a year, easy and shit. I can get with her. Boom. Whatever. What? But then it's like, okay. When do you decide to sharpen each other and work on each other's potential? Just like I saw your potential a long time ago with Journey, and you saw my potential a long time ago as well, just with getting positions out of nothing, no degrees, fucking battle rap, I don't even fucking degree, but I managed to get myself in different areas. So together, it's like, boom. And it's like, you have to ignore the human phase. It's like, bitch, I can get me a nigga right now. He can pull up in his Benz, sharp, suit, beard, chiseled, and what?
Chiseled.
I'm like, okay, then, okay, shit, I can get me this bitch right now. She gonna pull up in the Benz, titties, ass, Coca-Cola bottle shape, and wine me and dine me, and what? But then it's like, so what? You know what I'm saying? Like, so what?
The so what comes from all the issues that bitch has that we don't know about.
Right, and we touched on that. All the
issues that nigga has.
We touched on that before.
That you don't know about. I just heard about a friend of mine who found a guy online dating, fell in love. He's wonderful. He's this, he's that. She's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with him, moved in with him. He, you know, they live in life. Found it out all of a sudden randomly. She found out he is a Freemason, and he is so deep into it, and he wants her to get into it. Mm-hmm. And he has a high ranking in it.
Right.
And when she found that out, she was shocked and like, now I gotta get out. But she done dove head first in it.
Yeah. I had
he's high ranking in it.
I had that same. due to my research, I ran across that same situation. She probably lived about 30 minutes. This is when I was in Tulsa. She lived about 30 minutes away. You know, has all the typical shit. Niggas like titties, ass, build whatever. Her friends found me attractive, so that was. I was already in there. Once her friends found me to be handsome and attractive, I already knew I was in there. Then she was like, my uncle or my grandfather who I lived with, he's a Mason. I stopped fucking with her ass immediately. Like, immediately. Because I just so happened to watch the video of that Christian dude running into the Mason and interviewing him and talking about Lucifer and all that other shit. I learned that early, just like 6-7 months prior to me meeting her. So I was like, oh, okay. Lost contact, immediately disconnected contact. I don't want nothing to do with that shit. Because Mason success, I don't know, most of the lower members don't understand that they're getting involved in a cult. They just think, hey, it's like a lodge.
Like a brotherhood.
Brotherhood. This is like a fraternity. We're just together. But the higher Masons, they know. They know what's up.
So, you take that risk, basically, when you meet a new person. You don't know who you meet.
How do you know?
We got 15 plus years between us, so it's a little bit more difficult to just right. Be like, forget all this.
Yeah, it's very different. Not only that, I mean... Because I met one chick, she was like, you know what, I just want somebody. Because when I first met her, she was like, I just love sucking dick. I want to suck your dick. I just love sucking dick. And then I was like, okay. Anything that comes that easy comes with a price. Immediately. First of all. Not only that, nobody sucks my dick. With you. So I was like, okay.
Well, no. Correction. If they were, why people say correction? No one sucks it better.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have all the dick suckers in line.
Right. So I wasn't immediately impressed. So I'm just like, okay. Let me see what the girl. She had a very humble way about herself, but it was to the humble point to where it reminded me when I was
shit. My little Shih Tzu Asia has a very humble way about herself too, but she will still shit on your flow.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It reminded me of like high school. Like it's to impress. I understand she was trying to impress me. So I already had the upper hand. I already had the upper hand then. So I was like, okay.
That's interesting. What? When y'all think y'all have the upper hand, or when you figure out you have the upper mm-hmm. hand.
I learned that from a book on how the human psyche works between man, like female and male. And that's how I predicted old boy at the time was a bitch from what I've read.
From my ex.
Yes. I call him old boy.
Yes, I know. You've referred to him as old boy for quite some time.
Right. So old boy, due to his characteristics, I understood when I first met him, like this is with the handshake and I'm looking in my eyes, like, oh, he's a bitch. I knew that then, immediately. But I had no power at that particular time because of what I did to you, which was understandable. So you understand like body language and shit like that. So over time, I knew through conversation with women whether I had the upper hand or not. So I just chose, like you say, to entertain.
It is entertaining.
Yeah, it's entertaining. It was entertaining. So
you're not serious about anyone. What else?
No. Because over time, I mean, you realize as you get older, it's literally, it's like being involved in a dance. I can lead you and I can make this go further to where it leads to something else, or I can kind of just prolong this situation. You know, so with her, but over time, like she was like, I just want to, man, I can be with and I can laugh with and I can fart with, like I can be in the bathroom.
That takes some years.
Yeah, I can be in the bathroom and blah, blah, you know, the same shit we all already had for years. I'm just like, I've already had that. So this is what you're trying to gain. And you're at the same age I'm in, and you have yet to experience that.
Then nobody gonna put the work in. It's a lot of work to be able to fart and shit in front of somebody comfortably.
Right. I was like, that's sad because you haven't experienced that. So obviously you're trying to gain that, but yet you're at this point in time. So it's obviously
keep talking from recording.
It's obviously a bunch of dumbass decisions that you make. Your ass is in the bathroom. What do you mean? Keep talking. I ain't gonna talk to myself. I ain't talk to myself. We have to pause that or chop it out. But this shit, just leave the shit in there. You have to take a bathroom interlude.
I had to pee. Because a bitch bladder a week. I just got to.
So, it's like, at one point, I had understanding of that probably pretty early of how people's relationships just revolve around their desires. That's really it. Their desires.
In general, everybody wants quick shit right now. I want this type of relationship right now.
But that's just happiness. Like people are reaching for happiness, and that's why you see it. You heard it before, like, yo, you got to be happy within yourself first before you get involved with somebody. Because if you're not happy within yourself, shit, no matter what, the bitch can be bad as fuck. Like, bad. But you'll notice some type of shit within her that is not necessarily your cup of tea. You know, like, something that's not really, you're not really fond of.
Because and dating, vice versa. That's the whole point of dating. Dating is to weed through applications. You don't hire the first damn person that fills out an application. That's your business. That's your brand. That's your name. That's your everything.
Right.
You gotta weed through the freaking applications and find the perfect person that you think is the perfect person. Then you gotta try them out and see if they're the perfect person. And sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. And if they're not, then you scooch their ass on out the door and go on to the next person.
I see.
But at dating is the same way. You're literally filling, you know, you're weeding through applications.
Yeah, I feel that. I do.
At least.
I feel that.
That's what I did.
But hold on, I feel that. But eventually you have an understanding that everybody has flaws. Everybody is not necessarily your cup of tea. Matter of fact, you understand that shit completely because over time you understand, like, okay, it's really, that's why men date so many young women, because once you know a woman over time, over a time period, you understand their flaws, you understand what they've been through, this and that, what they baby daddy, So anything beyond that shit, to me, is like bullshit. It's like,
everybody has flaws, everybody has all these issues. But it's like my mama always told me, it's a matter of what you can and cannot or will not deal with.
Right.
Everybody's got flaws and problems.
Right, so you'll stand.
Literally, it's a matter of your standard and what you will and will not put up with.
Yeah.
You make me want to claw your eyeballs out.
But you love it.
Okay? Like, with lying. A fork. Like, I'm not even going to be so aggressive and use a knife. I just want to take a good plastic fork and go at your ass.
Yeah. But the love, which takes history.
I feel it.
The love there, which is over history. And I think that's what I said before as far as like human phrases, human behavior. If you can endure for long periods of time, you develop a love and an understanding about a person.
Yeah, but when you reach that breaking point, you really are confronted with the question, the big-ass question mark on your forehead, is it worth finding someone new? Because you're going right back into the rat
race. Yeah, the bullshit. And we all enjoy excitement. The human experience, from what I...
We enjoy the newness.
Yeah, the newness, because it's exciting, and that's why I say, like, if you really look at reality, like, just the human experience, especially in America, is all based around entertainment. How can I entertain? How can I fulfill? Makeup commercials, shampoo commercials. I want to make you look good. You're going to feel good today. Wear this brand because you're going to look good. You're going to feel good. Try this out because you're going to look good. You're going to feel good. We all like that moment of...
Which is all bullshit. It's all marketing.
It's all bullshit. Same thing with dating. It's like, okay, you put on your best suit or your best dress or your best shoe. You want to look good for first impressions. It's like first impressions matter, right? Because really, it's just a fucking, it's like a living commercial. When you meet somebody new, oh, this is exciting. Ooh,
everybody likes
bad.
New shit.
Yeah, everybody likes new shit. Oh, she bad as fuck. Ooh. Oh, this nigga's handsome. He got a beard, blah, 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 blah.
It's new shit.
We all like new shit. New shit, new kicks, new towels.
Brand new.
Yeah, new sheets, new furniture.
It's nothing like the new fuck.
Yeah, it's real shit.
I mean, be straight up.
That's
it's
real
nothing
shit.
Like the new fuck. It's new nothing fuck, like
new pussy, new dick, all that shit. It's brand new.
Nothing like that new kiss, that new making out.
Right, new making out session. We've both been there. And
this is just true shit. It's just nothing.
And I look at it like, okay, by that being continuous, right, it's new shit. It's not everlasting. It's just new shit. Eventually, I think it's like J. Cole said, everything, what the fuck did he say? He's like, what the fuck got hot didn't melt, right? It's like, if the shit's hot, it's new, ooh. But eventually, it has a cool down. Get tired from hearing from that motherfucker. Nigga, shit, go do something else. What the fuck?
Our shit was spicy for years.
Yeah, exactly. And that's,
well, I should still get spicy. I mean, when they go down that way, you know.
Absolutely.
It's been after 15 years.
And I brought that to your attention. I was like, what nigga fucks the same woman for 15 years and still, like, enjoys the pussy and still enjoys everything in it? Like, enjoys your personality, enjoys your ideas. You know what I'm saying? That's very unique. Because I, even in the past, like, when we weren't together, I ran into a girl from my past. I'm thinking, like, yo, I remember this was going down. I'm thinking, like, it's going to be some rekindling of some sort. I saw her ass. It was like, ugh, what the fuck? You been eating lard? Shit, what the fuck? You been eating Long John Silver's every day? Every day?
Long John Silver's is once or twice a year.
Once or twice a year. I'm like, god damn, like, ugh. It's like, and she was just, and that's why I said, like, your proportion, like, your thickness, as thick as you are, it's still smooth. It's still proportionate. Her shit was like, if you put like a million marbles in a garbage bag, imagine how that would look. Like marbles, that's what it looked like. But like jelly marbles, like that were made from gelatin.
But I get it.
Yeah, so I was just like, man, that's crazy. And it's like, There's a lot of different things about you that can't be always present, you know.
But when he moved on, I was like, he moved on. Uh-huh. So I'm gonna move on.
No, you moved on.
I moved on, but you moved on. Hold up, I did not move on like that. Like it wasn't like on a Tuesday. I was like, you know what? Gonna give me some dick. I moved on gradually, very slowly.
Yeah.
And you moved on very quickly after you saw I moved on.
Exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, as men, this is what you do. You see that your chick moved on. And you realize all the shit that your chick done to you when she was in love with your dirty ass. So all the intimate shit that y'all do, y'all hold all y'all secret weapons back till y'all in love. Once y'all in love, y'all just let it loose. I know how to do this. I can do this with my tongue. I can do this with my pussy. I do all that shit. So me.
Yeah, but when you have it.
Yeah, but hold on. So me knowing that, I'm like, okay, she's about to do every fucking thing she's done times 10. So what I need to do to redeem myself as a man, I need to fuck like 20 bitches.
Wow. And you know what? You might have. I don't want to. I'm just saying. I did not do that. It just, I was just trying to move on emotionally.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you was doing up there. This is a big ass jump of subjects.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you was doing. And I didn't want to know. And I'm ask you, I'm talk about what you're doing. I don't know, I didn't talk to CJ.
But I wanted to know everything. What the fuck are you doing?
I didn't know. Your ass, on the other hand, different subject.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you, but you asked me.
You're damn right.
I didn't question you, but you questioned me.
You're damn right.
I didn't get an attitude to cuss you out, but you got an attitude to cuss me out.
You're sure fucking right.
I was like, this makes no sense. Am I supposed to be miserable because of all the shit and not do anything while you sit and fuck bitches? I mean, because that's kind of how y'all act, like.
Yeah, that's how we have it.
You know, we have never been on no baby mama, baby daddy shit. We've been best friends for years, so we've never been on no baby mama, baby daddy shit. It's always been a very respectful level as far as that part goes. And like I used to tell you, I protected you from CJ. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, I protected CJ from the bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because I did. Because he would be like, my dad, he thought you were the best shit ever on the planet. My daddy, my daddy, my daddy. That's all I would hear about. My daddy's this, my daddy's that. And when you are a woman scorned, your natural instinct is to be like, your daddy ain't shit.
Right.
Oh. Fuck your daddy.
Oh,
punk ass, you know. Right. Your daddy just called me a bitch 2 days ago. What, like, fuck him. But I would be like, yep, your daddy is amazing. He's wonderful. He loves you. He loves you, and he's great, and he's this, and he's that. And he was just like, yeah. Because he thought you were the best thing ever. And I would not take that from him. I'm not going to take it from him.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, no, your daddy ain't shit. I was like, your daddy is wonderful. He's, you know, me and him argue sometimes, but he's a great person. Mm-hmm. And that was the hardest.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
He was, I would tell, he's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
To make sure that he didn't see you the way that I saw you at that particular time. Mm-hmm. And I never thought, I always thought, he'll never know. He'll never know how much I make sure I protect CJ, our child, from this shit.
Yeah.
Because it was so important to me that he doesn't see you in that light. It was important to me that he sees you in his own life, the way he sees you. And then however he sees you is how we'll deal with it from there. We'll go on from there. Mm-hmm. And that is the hardest thing for a woman scorn to do.
Right.
And any woman that can do that, she's got, hats off to her, because that's not something that's easy to do when you're angry and you're hurt and you're bitter.
Right.
To talk about someone in a positive light when you're hurt by them.
Yeah, I can do that. I gotta say that.
And I did that, and I continued to do it as much as I could possibly do for years and years and years and years and years. Until he saw for himself whatever it is he saw for himself amongst you, amongst me, and he gathered his own opinion about the both of us.
Right.
And I see it now. His thought, he talks shit under his breath so fast. And he haven't learned he's not learned how to, he don't know how to lie yet. He's so innocent still.
Yeah, he's very innocent. He's very innocent.
So he hasn't, but he, when we talk shit to him, he's in trouble or whatever, he say shit on his breath.
No, he does.
And he's like, fuck them. Whatever it is that he says. And I don't blame him. I check him for it, but I don't blame him, because I'd be doing the same thing. Man, shut the fuck up. Right. If I was him. I talk shit to my mom under my breath as well.
Mm-hmm.
One story I have that I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Is that I had a diary. Mom, I didn't know nothing about a damn diary, but mom wanted me to have a diary for me to write my thoughts down. And when she would piss me off, I would write the most horrible shit about her in this diary. It had a lock on it. You could pick that shit with a fork, but it had a lock on it, and it was my diary. And I would write, fuck you, bitch, you sorry ass bitch, you ain't shit to me, blah, blah, blah. I would write all this shit about my mom. In this diary. And one day, I guess I didn't lock it or something.
Oh, shit.
And she got a hold of it and she read it. And I was out with my friend and I came home. And this is a true story. This is a true story. And it's not even funny. I came home and she was.
Yeah, I know you're talking about that.
She was so hurt. And she just had, I don't know what happened in between the time that she read it and the time I came home. I don't know what happened in between that time, but I remember she looked different. She looked dark. Her countenance was down. She looked different. And she didn't yell and scream and beat my ass. She didn't do any of that. She just addressed it. And it was enough for me to feel like a piece of trash.
Right.
Now, she didn't make me feel like this is trash. I felt like this is trash for writing it and leaving it there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. For even writing it. And she just asked me about it. She's like, I'm adopted. After everything. After everything I've done, you can write. And she had it open.
Yeah.
She was like, she's showing me.
She saw all the past shit that you did.
And I had scribbled, torn up paper scribbling. Bitch, fuck you. Yeah. All the shit. And she's like, after everything I've done, after everything we've done, after everything, you can write this about me. It's how you feel. And I couldn't say shit. I'm just sitting there staring at her. There's nothing what could I say? I could say shit. I'm just sitting there staring at her, and she was so hurt. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget how I tore her heart out.
Right.
I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that day, and I'll never forget the way she looked. She was so hurt. It had nothing to be honest, it had nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
It had everything to do with me and my biological mom, Mary. It had everything to do with her.
Yeah.
I'm pissed at her.
Right.
because you kept all those kids and you, you threw me off.
Yeah.
In my mind, at the time, kept all your kids and you left me.
Mm-hmm.
What type of crazy witch are you? As that's how I felt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took it out on her, and it was just was. But when you're that young, you know, I think I was like 13 or 14. I didn't know how to express. You know, it's not. Yeah, it's yeah, not yeah. You. I'm angry. I didn't know how to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said nothing, which is worse than saying, you know, something.
Right.
And she had talked to me for. I mean, she had talked to me for. She just. And I can't blame her. She just.
Yeah, I mean, at that time you couldn't explain. This is what.
Yeah, because you don't even know how to explain it. Because you don't know how you feel. You just like, I don't mean it.
I just felt anger.
And I'm pissed.
Yeah, I'm pissed the fuck off. And that whatever she did, kind of.
It's true. It's tainted our relationship, and it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. You adopted me. You did the right thing.
Right.
So I say that to say this. It's trickled. Those things have trickled into my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caused, I don't know how my other sisters and brothers feel about trying to love someone or be, you know, have a relationship with someone. I don't know how they feel about it, but for me, it trickled into my adult life and it caused me to not really know how to open up. Wow, like bloom. It caused me to.
Yeah, you remember that picture I showed you? It was like this beautiful ass flower.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, and it was like, I was like, yeah, I mean, you need to throw some thorns in that bitch. We want it to be like thorns. And it's like this beautiful ass, these petals, they're like multiple colors because like you're multifaceted. Because you know how to love, you know how to care, you know how to. Do all these different things.
I know how to do all those things, but the best thing the one thing I'm good at is shutting the fuck down.
Right, and that's why I wanted to the thorns to be there. Like it's protection. It's to protect the innards, like the petals, the beauty because part of it. Like you can look at me, but though you motherfucker, you try to hold me like touch
anybody
me.
Anybody that's ever grown up and not known who their biological father is.
Right.
Anyone, male or female,
yeah.
Anyone that's grown up and not known the true facts.
Right.
You don't literally, physically, mentally know where you come from.
Right.
On this side.
Right.
Every side is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother's side, your father's side, both sides are huge. But if you're grown up and you don't know one of those sides, you are left with a void.
Right.
You are. You just are. You're left with the void. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that void and it's never fulfilled, and every, you know, like they tried to fulfill it. They tried to fulfill it. They did a great job fulfilling every single part of me except for that part.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they can fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have that, when you have that huge void, it's bigger than them. Any fatherless kid, motherless kid,
right,
that has that empty part where you don't know your roots, you don't know if you have any other brothers or sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was left with like, yeah, this is your dad, and it but this isn't, you know,
yeah.
What really is really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's gonna have a huge impact. For real, because I mean, this by me, I was thinking like, okay, so if I managed to get on the Breakfast Club, say like the shit blew up, can't say the name of it, but you know, the shit blew up, I was going to explain, it's like, okay, I remember growing up in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma, of all places, nationally, it's looked at as more country, as bull, like, I remember being in Detroit, just like in the 90s, they still thought we rode horses and carriages and shit, right? And being like in this middle place, this melting pot to where you're influenced by every other popular city and state that's surrounding that area, like
to yourself, like, yo, shit, I belong to a fucking shitty ass, bullshit ass state. This is where I was born. This is where I.
This is where I come from.
This is where I come from.
When you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. So on top of that, going to Detroit and seeing poverty, seeing like despair, seeing the worst shit you possibly see, but them surviving and then finding fun in within that situation. You know, like they celebrate in a different type of way. Like imagine you not having shit, but yet you still human, like you still gonna party, and this is old Motown City. So even though it's impoverished, like they still manage, they enjoy themselves in this gritty ass way. Like they pull from their surroundings, they pull from,
which a lot of people do in a lot of different settings. New Orleans,
Philly, pretty much any other hood throughout America that's surrounded by other major successful cities. Tampa, you know, anywhere in Florida, anywhere in California, Compton and all that shit. So anytime I came back down here, well, back down to Oklahoma City, it just felt like, damn, like this is weird to me, you know, this is very weird. So that's why
let me just cut you off here. Because what you said had impact on me when you told me you had to fight for a sandwich.
Yeah, I sat on the fucking steps and fought for a damn motherfucking bologna sandwich.
I'm laughing.
No mayonnaise, no miracle, none of that shit. It was a bologna and bread. And I remember, like, they would come in, like, early in the morning. I'd be up early in the morning. I think this was Keisha's crib. This is my aunt. This, you know, God
rest his
soul.
That's probably why you hate waking up.
Could be. But, you know, God rest his soul. But she would have to put like 2 gallons of milk on the table. Boom. And we all fight for that shit. Motherfucker, I'm about to get my bowl of cereal. You know what I'm saying? Get my Rice Krispies. No sugar. No sugar. And this is like, these not even real Rice Krispies. This is like rice.
Crispy rice.
Yeah, crispy rice. And all that shit. And then we had a pound of sugar on the table. We would make our motherfucking bowls and shit. And to me, that was new. Because I grew up with my mom being spoiled. Only child. Living, mind you, of course, it was like Section 8 and all that shit. But I didn't understand that I was poor or we were, you know, I didn't understand that we didn't have it, but my mom always provided everything for me.
Well, that was her job.
That was her job.
She made sure that you didn't know that.
Right. So whenever I went to Detroit, I saw the real shit each and every summer. So every time I came back down, I'm trying to figure out my fucking point. My point to what you were saying is like, you get into the mind state of being comfortable. You're being conformed to whatever situation you're in when people are experiencing worse, but yet they find some type of joy within this turmoil, within the, living in the trenches. Like they find joy in these other ways. Mind you, I think that was it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yes.
That is the baby.
What time is it?
That's 2:26 in the morning. And that is the baby. That is King. Right. It's time for him to eat, diaper change, go to bed, and we'll be back.